Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk. And I expect Heather Roan Robbins to be joining me shortly. And we, I don't know if Mark's coming tonight, but we'll find out because, you know, it's always an excitement of who's showing up and who's taking the day off. And so our job is to go, yeah, forward we go. And this is it. We're here at this lovely December 7th, 2016. And we're looking at working with the energy of the sky. I think I hear Heather. Heather, you there?
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, where it's a chilly 12 degrees tonight. How are you?
I am good. I'm sitting here at the bright red desk. It's not that cold here.
Yay.
Yay.
And that's good. It's sort of chilly all over the world in the emotional places this week.
Yeah. Totally true.
Mm-hmm.
And
that Pisces
what are you?
Moon has been a doozy.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I mean, I had a lot of people too, really kind of feeling like, you know, stuff was hard. It was just,
it's very hard.
You know, crying or very upset.
And
it is. It's been kind of an emotional moon.
Yeah. Those last 2 days, you know, with the Pisces moon, especially when the Pisces moon conjunct Neptune 2 nights ago, very brought up a lot of tender feelings for so many people. At the same time that Mars and Venus in Aquarius and Mars and Venus in, and before yesterday, Venus and Mercury in Capricorn, there was an emotional disconnect. So the moon was saying, feel, feel, feel. And everybody, and the Venus and Mars was saying, no, look at the politics. Look at the big picture. And look how hard it is. Because Capricorn always looks at the task.
Yes.
And so I found a lot of people having trouble reaching their resources that are normally so easy for them to touch to. And even having a hard time being all that cozy and intimate with each other because that Venus and Mars in those those Saturn-ruled signs kind of took them out of their heart or helped let them feel for the world but disconnect a little bit from each other. Did you notice
that? Yeah, no, totally. And it was definitely, it's kind of like, you know, We have this energy around ourselves these days of, you know, kind of intensity. There's just a lot of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just really feeling it emotionally. So we're kind of like, okay, you know, this is what this is the deal. And what do we do with it, you know? So, yeah.
And tomorrow the moon goes into Aries.
Well, I know. And it has good, this week had bad closing aspects. But this week has good closing aspects, so that's good. Did I just hear Mark arrive?
I'm not sure. Mark, are you there?
Mark? No,
not yet.
No, okay.
I heard
a little squeak.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some interesting aspects with the sun. It sextiles Jupiter, conjunct Saturn, and trines Uranus next weekend. So we want to reach out. And I'm seeing the people that are connected in an Aquarian way, that have a group to go to, that are singing with their choir or trading cookies or are getting involved in their politics or planning the Million Women March, are feeling a lot more upbeat than those that aren't. They've got some way of feeling the collective.
Right, right. And so what are you finding with that, that they're just kind of
They don't feel as cut off.
Don't feel,
you know,
cut off.
They're,
okay.
They're feeling like, you know, because that Pisces moon in particular, but I think we're just all feeling so permeable. And that to be around people that are working towards a cause makes the Capricorn Mercury happy.
Right.
And that are working towards a cause and are hopeful about it, whether it's because they want their cookies to come out, their Christmas concert, or they want politics to change, or they have, you know, they're meditating together. That collective energy is sort of soaking up in people.
Right.
And so that's a good use of that Capricorn Aquarius and the Neptune filling people up. If they have any hope that they can make a difference for the better in their life anywhere, as, you know, the sun moves into that trine with Uranus, then whether they're cleaning out a drawer or, you know, joining the League of Women's Voters, they have a sense of positive future. The ones who kind of caught and their illusions have been busted and they're feeling isolated and they don't love their work are just spiraling.
Right, right. And really feeling like incredibly depressed, you know, like, or just trapped. Pretty wild,
and,
Yeah,
and trapped doesn't help us. We can vote for a different, as Caroline Casey always says, vote for a different reality with your imagination. And I find that if, you know, I can get in those moods this time of year, certainly, and I have to watch where my imagination's going. And if I can put it, you know, give it a good task, you know, Mercury's coming to sextile Neptune this weekend. If we can give it a good task and bring in some of the holiday magic or some of this point in history magic, in a positive way, I think we it shifts that energy field that can feel so hopeless otherwise.
And I think really when we're working with this, it's about, you know, because of the Neptune also just right near the node still, the south node, it can really be very easy. You know, it's kind of like a little whirlpool there. As planets aspect, you know, as Pisces moon went through and aspected the Neptune, and as it hits them, you know, as it sets it off, it kind of makes us go, oh, you know, I'm kind of back in the vortex again. Is this my, you know, what the hell happened to my dream? I had somebody call the other day, and he was like, you know, you said the dream was going away on the 30th or the 20th, Saturday before, before Thanksgiving, because Neptune went down the south node. And it's like, well, yeah, that dream, you know, but it's, you know, Neptune hits the south node every 15 years. And it releases something, you know. So for all of us, there was something that got released, and wherever you have that degree in your chart, 7 degrees of Pisces. And it said, okay, we're done here, you know. And everybody kind of goes, what, we're done? And, yeah, what now what? And we go, well, new dream. And, you know, we forget. We have a dream. We work towards it. And we get it. And then we're kind of like, okay, now what? Well, in time for a new dream. It's kind of like a new dream. What do you mean? You know, like, or we didn't, the dream didn't come true. So we go, okay, that didn't happen. So now what? And I have to come up with another plan. So for the people that are kind of like, okay, this is my vision, I'm going to go fight for it, or I have this dream of how I'm, going to make a difference, I guess it must be true, they're inspired. And the people that are kind of like, okay, you know, I lost, or my dream's done, or whatever, they're kind of like, now what? And so there's a little casting about energy. And as Moon went through Pisces, it re-stimulated that the last couple days. So a lot of people have been dealing with old stuff, old boyfriends, old relationships, old emotional issues, because we're back kind of a little bit in that soggy Pisces place. And remember,
indeed,
the February time frame is all about, February, March is all about that, you know, the snow days, and it's gray and it's gloomy, and you don't think spring is ever coming. And you can't imagine, you know, and then just a couple of weeks later, there's buds on the trees and the sap's running and the weather's a little warmer.
Well,
and
where you live, there is.
Well, you get it a little bit later, but you're higher north than I am. But and so it, but it does, spring does come, you know.
It does come every year. And it's coming earlier every year, and that, you know, in the north, that's kind of not a bad thing. But the winter is, and it's, I agree that there is that sense of cycle. And you know, we're feeling already, I think, the acute feeling of Mercury starting to turn retrograde. And that hits on, I believe, the 19th, and it lasts through the 10th.
And it's in Earth.
And so it's some pragmatic difficulties. And you know, it'll be good for going home, but I would say everybody, their packages need to be in the mail well before the 19th. And their packages need to be, and we need to, and it's turning retrograde, as you pointed out, four hours before the Electoral College votes. So
right.
We may never know what really happens there.
Mm-hmm.
But
do they
meet
in private?
And,
I've never really paid attention to them.
You
before.
Know, they vote. I don't think, actually, they vote publicly. I don't think their name is associated with what they vote. So there could be a wild card, but we could also never know what actually happens. It's one of those, when Mercury stations on a voting day, it's really tricky. We saw that with
Bush,
you know,
versus
George Bush the first.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But so we'll see how that turns out. But the, and you know, wouldn't that be a Christmas present? But the retrograde cycle, already I feel it's, we're in the shadow. We feel it slowing down. We feel it, it moving into that sense of, you know, misunderstanding, misalignment. There's been a fair amount of accidents based on electrical mishaps from the California fire, you know, and places all over the world. And that's, again, Mercury coming up to its retrograde stationary in an Earth sign, so it's practical difficulties. It's not just misunderstandings. It's misplacing or miswiring or something. So be careful where you put your Christmas lights this year.
Mm-hmm. And be careful with unattended candles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Somebody wrote to me and complained because I'd said, you know, it's a trine in fire.
Yeah.
Saturn and Sag and Mercury and Aries. I mean, it's candles, you know, it's candles, matches lighting candles. And, it, you know, it's fast. And I, you know, I'd said it was a trine.
Mm-hmm.
So generally it's speedy, you know, it goes really quickly. And so they wrote and they were complaining, which I get, because they had friends who died in the Oakland fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I know, but the trine makes it go fast. The square, there's an interruption. But when you looked at the pictures of that place, it was there was just tons of stuff
it
to catch
fast.
On fire. Huh?
Mm-hmm. It
and it went really
went fast.
Fast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it turned into a fireball, like, amazingly quickly.
That's
the fire in trine, positive trine. It goes fast.
And yes, it does.
We think of trines as being good, and quote-unquote they are, unless we're working with a destructive element like fire, which can really go very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So our job is to go, yeah, fire is very volatile right now. We watch Gatlinburg burn in, like, a couple of days. You know, a whole town get taken out. We were in Catalina for this summer, and there was a big fire trine, whatever, I don't remember what year it was, but the guy was talking about when Catalina had burned, you know. And they, you know, there was a huge fire trine that year, that summer.
Yep, yep.
And it, like, took out all of the mountains, all the scrub on the mountains. And so we watched, this year is going to be a big year for fires, forest fires and lightning strikes because of the Uranus and electrical. Because of the Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to Saturn
and Neptune and Pisces, we're seeing lots of water someplace. The difference between lots of water some places and not enough water in others. That
right.
The polarity of the water system.
Right.
Yeah.
And who gets
I agree.
It and who doesn't
and,
have it.
You know, it's an example that not everything in astrology, sometimes there's a good and difficult aspect to every single thing.
Right.
A grand trine sounds lovely, fire signs.
Mm-hmm.
But when what's moving quickly is the forest fire, it's a problem.
Right.
You know,
right.
Every single aspect has a positive attribute as well as a challenging attribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with this, when there is enthusiasm, it will catch fire. When there is protest, it will catch fire. When there is points of revolution, it will catch fire.
Right.
At the same time that forest fires catch fire. When there is romance, it can catch fire.
Mm-hmm.
So choose what you want to light the candle to.
Right. Because you never know it's going to catch fire. No. And it was interesting. There was an article I read. It was a while ago, and it had, you know, climbing, that fires climb. You know, they go up. and mm-hmm. they go up the hill. Mm-hmm. They go fast. They go high. And it was talking about, I think it was forest rangers, and they'd mm-hmm. run up the hill, and of course the fire chased them and ate them. And mm-hmm. You know, and it was a big loss in the forest firefighting people. Mm-hmm. But it was also, you know, I kind of thought about it, and I thought, well, I never thought about fires going up a hill. But yeah, they burn mm-hmm. up, and so they catch the things above them on fire. And so that's the other part of it. Fire goes up. And in the case of Oakland, I guess, you know, the people were upstairs, and they got caught. You know, there was no way out. So watch for the up energy of fire, too. It's very, it's inflammatory. Mm-hmm. You know, think about what inflammatory rhetoric is. You know, and we certainly have had that this year with Saturn and Sag, but now we're going to mm-hmm. have more of it with Mercury mm-hmm. or with Uranus and fire hitting that. You know, we can anticipate more fiery rhetoric or more fiery words. Mm-hmm. So it'll be mm-hmm. fascinating to see how it shows up in the collective. I remember when I was a baby astrologer, Wendy Ashley was a brilliant astrologer up in Maine. She was saying, you know, sometimes the gods would say too much fire. There's too much fire up there. Too much fire in the sky is not good, too much. You know, you want a balance. Mm-hmm. So, and we've got air feeding the fire with Jupiter and Libra right now. So the fire is going to be fed. So
yes,
it will
it
be
is.
Fed. Yeah.
And, so. You know, we're longing for some sense of logic coming back. But with Saturn in a fire sign, trining Uranus, Saturn, which is normally the reality police, and asks people to check their facts and points out when politicians are making absolutely no sense and not basing anything on fact, is not there. It's all in that emotionally and responsive, fiery side that's not about finding the logic, finding the fact, no sign of rigorous thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Sagittarius
so
is public relations and advertising,
ourselves.
Right?
Hmm?
It's public relations and advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you why
mm-hmm.
I'm right,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to tell you why the other guy's not. And I
right.
want you to believe my story. I don't want you to listen to the other guy's story.
Right.
So that's Saturn and Sag,
yep.
too.
Yeah. Yeah, people often think of Sagittarius as they're honest. They wouldn't lie.
Yeah.
And on good
mm-hmm.
days, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the honest lie is, they're not looking at, it's not an intention to deceive, because the person doesn't even know they're doing it. They're just having that emotional intensity. Most
right.
Sagittarius, are, for instance, are unusually honest, but some of the worst pathological liars in history have very strong Sag in their charts.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
mm-hmm.
a case of a man driving around Rhode Island, or it was Boston at the time, saying that someone had kidnapped his pregnant wife, and his pregnant wife was white and the kidnapper was black, and it was terrible, and he was driving around trying to find her, and he had killed her, and he had tried
mm-hmm.
to frame somebody for this.
I remember
and
that.
He had
yeah,
four
that
planets in Sagittarius.
Right.
And he believed his own story.
Right, which is
so,
really hard, because when they believe it and they don't squint on the lie detector or do any lie
right,
tell.
Right, there's no sign of the lie. And
right,
and
right,
that's
yeah.
what I'm seeing is, you know, they believe their own stories.
Because it's true.
Mm-hmm. It's not like the Karl Rove lie that knew they were deceiving.
Yeah. Uncle Carl always shows that he's lying. But we got a caller mm-hmm. who's got her hand raised. We didn't
wonderful.
Have an email. I didn't see any emails.
No, I
didn't.
Did
you
either.
See any emails? No, okay.
Nope.
So we'll click on 530-307. You're on the air. Can't hear you, honey. Say it again.
626 19. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
yep.
Now
six,
I can.
626.
Yes.
Yep.
June 26, 1959. I was born in Los Angeles, California.
1959, LA, what time?
8:18 p.m.
Okay.
And what's your question, my dear?
Well, I'm talking about, you know, I had a lot of success in my business, and I was just wondering if I'm going to have any, my love life is going to catch on fire anytime soon. Cause I've been so busy working. And yeah, just if there's anything that you could see that's going to be coming up. I've had a few things kind of come up recently and haven't really put a lot of energy into it. So I'm just wondering.
That was my question is, you know, how much do you vote for your love life with your time?
Well, not that much.
Right. I mean, your progress moon's been going through the bottom of your chart in Aries, your Pisces moon, and the progress moon's been on fire, and you've been really, really, really busy. Now, Saturn's moving into is already trining, and the Sun is tomorrow, your Mars-Uranus conjunction in the seventh house. And it looks like you've been involved in some passionate relationships that sort of became, stormy, to put it mildly, hurricane-like at other times, and may have sort of stepped back a bit with some, sending out some mixed messages around relationships.
Well, I've been in a relationship my whole life, and it's not that they turned stormy, it's just that, like, I decided to take a break for a while so that I can... focus on myself, and now I'm thinking again about being in a relationship, but I'm still like, I don't know how to jump back into it, like, because I've been like so into myself now.
Well, you progressed out of Aries when it was totally appropriate to be by yourself, and moving into Taurus in a few weeks.
Right, which wants to sit on the couch and cuddle.
Right.
So you're in the mood to cuddle.
And isn't so worried about establishing your independence.
And then the moon is going to come to sextile your Sun in about 3-4 months, at the same time that Saturn's trining your Sun and Uranus is trining, not your Sun, Uranus, Saturn, Uranus is trining your Venus and your Vesta. So you've got a whole year of, well, what does love look like? What's my vision for love? What do I want in relationship? You're also having Jupiter up there on your marriage planet, Juno, in your ninth house of Sirius partner, Sirius second partner. And so a lot of it is really defining what you're looking for, because a lot of stuff has changed in your definition of what you want, you know. So a couple things, I'd say, where are you going to fit them? And what do they look like? You know, what is the relationship? Because it's going to be a very different relationship now that you finished your Pluto transit. You know, because he's kind of gotten you clear on, you know, where maybe it wasn't so good. And you're kind of like, okay, maybe I'm ready now. Maybe I'm in the mood for a little love. So, your chart is ready. But you have to figure out what that looks like.
And there's
a lot of work that you're doing on, instead of disappearing into a relationship, really loving it and staying centered in your own path, opening to it rather than leaning into it.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. When I was listening to Anne on Sunday, she was saying something about what planet is Mercury in? In my chart.
What sign Mercury's in? Your Mercury's in Cancer.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And Uranus will be coming to square it in the coming year, helping you change your mind and change your communication skills with your partnerships so that you find a better balance between the two.
Right.
And, you know, when we look at your progressed chart by itself, your progressed moon in the next month moves into a grand trine between your progressed Saturn and your progressed Sun. I mean, it's sitting right there in it right now.
Right.
So this is a really good time to find a balance between your identity, your emotional needs, and your work. And that all three need to work together. You can't choose between them, or you start undermining one or the other.
Right.
But really imagine your life is a temple built of mind, body, and spirit, of relationship, independent personality, and work that you love. And then it will be easier to enter into a relationship and send out unambiguous messages to the world.
Right. That's, you're really, right. really getting ready to clear that. And the Mercury retrograde that we're about to have is stationing in your first house. So that's on the 19th, and it's there through the beginning of the June. And so that's a lot about, well, what actually does partner look like? And and how? And in 4 months from now, the progressed sun goes into Virgo, which is a little more couch potato, you know. So your sun's going to be in Taurus and your moon's going to be in Virgo, which is earthy, as opposed to running around and doing things. It's kind of more, you know, being in the mood to sit on a couch with somebody and hang out. And they both trine the ascendant. So your chart's kind of ready, you know, to kind of settle down a little bit. And that's good. You know, you're entering a season of, for a 30-month period, of wanting to build a nest. And then we look at the Taurus time in the world, that's when the birds make nests. You know, and they go, okay, let me make a nest and lay an egg so it can hatch and grow in the summer. So you're ready to build a nest, which is good. You're feeling it. I'm feeling like the nest. But it's really a really good time, this Mercury retrograde, go back through your relationships, think about what you learned from them, think about, because Mercury is a relationship planet for you because he's in your seventh house, and think about what you learned about relationships and what you liked, what you didn't like, right? The positive version of the didn't like, because the Virgo planets can tend to look at the negative version. You know, they're cheap. So you say, well, they're generous. You know, come up with that. You know, I don't want cheap. Say, well, I like generous. You can kind of come up with a good balance word. Now, and be careful about the word choice, because you're really kind of making a list, kind of like going to the grocery store. If you're unclear, you might get the wrong kind of carrots. I had one woman, she was dating somebody who was non-communicative, and then we talked about the list and kind of figuring out what you're looking for. So she did communicative, or she did gregarious, rather. And the guy followed her around talking, and he would call her mother and talk to her mother for half an hour every day. Drove her crazy. I said, well, your mother can date him. You know? She goes, he just talks all the time. I said, well, what'd you say? She said, I said, gregarious. I said, you want to say communicative. You know, you went a little to the right of, and a lot of times we do that. So what I would take the time over the Christmas holidays to kind of think about what the new relationship you'd like to pull in looks like, and then I'd get your butt in gear and get out in the world and say, okay, where do I find somebody who's doing what I want to do in relationship? What does it look like?
Right.
I like Kevin Woodward's Calling in the One book. I think it's really helpful because it helps get you clear on how what is it you're actually looking for? Because it changes. You know, like what I dated when I was 20 is very different than what I dated when I was 40 is very different than what I'm going to want to date now at 62.
That's what I'm wondering, what it looks like at 57.
Totally.
Wonder.
And it's
honoring
it.
That's a very productive thing right now, is to let yourself daydream about that. What would a healthy balance between your a relationship that met you and you didn't unbalance into feel like, look like, taste like, and put out that call?
Yeah,
I think it's sometimes a little scary sometimes because you're like, what does it look like at this time? And and like, how old do you go or how young? Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it's part of, you know, it is, as we get older, you know, I mean, I remember when my dad met my stepmother after my mom had passed away. And it was fast. I mean, he was like, boom, he was done. And I said something. He goes, no, when you get to be my age, 57, at that point, he goes, you know what you like and you know what you don't like. And you're pretty clear.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, good to know. I'm not there. I'm only 30. But, you know, good to know you've got it worked out. And he was very clear. And they've been together 32 years and are pretty happy, you know, for the most part.
Were they the same age?
She was 2 years younger than him. So he was 50.
Oh, just about,
Yeah, he was 57. She was 55 when they met, yeah.
Yeah, that's
was good. You know, they lived happily ever after, you know. So, yeah, but he was really clear what they, you know, they kind of did a list of, do you like this, do you like that, you know. I think a couple things they might have each fibbed a little, but, you know, they got there.
That's awesome.
So.
All right, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a merry
good luck
Christmas.
With
thank
it.
You.
Keep
all
posted.
Right. Good luck.
We hope you call
right,
next time
you.
With this chart and say, gee, we're how about you think about this guy, you know? All right. So this is us signing off. Anne
yes,
in New York
indeed.
On the Bright Red Desk.
And Heather Rowan Robbins here in sunny, warm, 12-degree Minnesota.
And you're going to sit on that outdoor porch in the rocker tonight,
yeah,
huh, Heather?
Yeah, just watch that sunset go down. And, yep, and it's even colder in Montana where Ren is at the moment. And we're normally welcomed by Mark Waltz, who is off teaching yoga tonight.
Yes,
so
yes.
We'll hopefully he'll be back soon.
Right,
and
we're
all
Mark
presenting
and...
together in
yep.
in mm-hmm. on March, and come and see work with us in New York.
March 11th and 12th, book it in your calendars. Weekend workshop in New York. It's going to be
wonderful.
Put up on the website in the next couple of days, probably
okay.
next week. But good news.
Take care.
Bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.